Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Finish school and not sure what's next? Explore further education and training options at thisisfet.ie.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.
My next guest found herself unexpectedly thrust into the spotlight when her brother, Jason Corbett, was killed in his North Carolina home in 2015. This was not the first or indeed the last tragedy faced by her family, a story Tracy Corbett Lynch tells in her new book, Loss, and What It Taught Me About Living. And Tracy joins me on the line now. Tracy, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Claire.
So this new book that you've written alongside the journalist Ralph Regal, it's like a roadmap about your grief and what you've learned going through it all. And we've heard you talk about Jason's death, but people mightn't realise just how close you were to Jason's first wife, Mags.
Yes, I wrote the book with Ralph, and I think there are questions we all ask ourselves when someone dies, and questions I'd ask myself, and how do I get on with life at times when I can't recognise the life that I've been left with, and death comes to us all. It's a really difficult subject. You know, when someone dies, it's almost always without warning. Your life just becomes a whole series of before and afters, and loss and living is my roadmap. The book and my guide to how I coped with this in my life. I'm not a psychiatrist or I'm not an academic, but I am someone who's had a whole lot of lived experience of death. So in the book, I talk about how it was for me, what I experienced, the things that helped me and the things that didn't. I've lost so many people that, you know, I love. And I just, when I thought I had coped with all, life could throw at me the COVID-19 pandemic, claimed my mother. So it's not linear, you know.
Yeah, and people hearing that, you know, will be thinking what a difficult time you've been through. But I just want to come back to Mags for a moment, because she wasn't just your sister-in-law, was she? She was your closest friend.
She was. Yeah. I mean, we were extremely close and socialized together, both individually and obviously with the boys as well. And we were so young when she had died, and it just threw me completely, you know, into a deep depression, really. I couldn't understand how someone so young and so vivacious with so much to live for could die. It just created a huge imbalance and struck me. It was really profound, losing Mags at such a young age, you know.
She was only 31, wasn't she, when she died?
She was, and, you know, you look at it, you know, and it was so difficult for Jason. And at that time, I really, you know, you try to hide. I did my own grief because I looked at what he was going through, and really, you know, it would have been so much more helpful at that point in time for me to acknowledge my grief to Jason as well, because we try to, you know, be the strong one, and really it's about talking and sharing how you're feeling.
Because so many people were helping him at that time, you know, they saw someone trying to deal with losing the love of his life and also trying to raise two young children. But ultimately, as you describe in the book, he had to deal with that grief by himself. He had to go through it.
Yeah, he did. I think we all do. It's, you know, we all have a very, you know, unique experience of when we lose somebody in our lives. And, you know, my life experience affects how I process and see the world, the same as yours does for you, Claire. You know, for example, how I experienced the world and felt when I lost my mother won't be the same as somebody else who lost their mother, because they don't have the same unique experience and relationship that I had. So I'm sure your listeners will have their own very personal and unique relationships, and no individual has the same experience and grief, but we walk the same path, and I hope sharing my experience will offer some support and hope for those at different stages.
And then we move to 2015, and we all remember hearing that very tragic news, Tracy, about the killing of Jason in North Carolina. And I can't imagine what it must have been like for you to hear that news. You describe it in the book. You were on holiday at the time in France.
Yeah, it was just, you know, we were on holidays and having a, you know, as you do when you're away in sunshine and your break from work and all the stresses of life, and, you know, suddenly everything gets turned upside down.
And then you yourself and your husband ended up getting custody and welcoming Jason's children, Jack and Sarah, into your family. Did that add another pressure, another layer to your grief because you had a job now to comfort, support and bring those children up? Or did you find it was a help?
I think Jack and Sarah have just been a wonderful blessing to all of our lives. And, you know, they're a wonderful reminder to us every day of Jason and Megs and everything that's good and, you know, about the world. So it was a difficult time for everybody. And, you know, with children and grief, they express themselves so different, you know, to adults. And, you know, we try to be as honest and in an age appropriate way. And, you know, with children, it's listening, but it's watching as well. So, you know, we've been trying to support children while they're grieving and you know, and how they act out in their behaviour and offer outlets and, you know, talk therapy, equine therapy, art drama, and we tried them all. And in fact, one thing I found very positive was a word a day that, you know, we found that the kids could have very complex emotions and difficulty in expressing themselves. So we did a word a day and took a word and the kids learned its meaning and incorporated it into some sentences. And that really helped them articulate their feelings and express, you know, how they were feeling, you know. And we're very lucky, we're very blessed. We have four wonderful children, you know, and that's the strength that gets me out of bed every day.
Yeah, and you mentioned the death of your poor mother 2 years ago now, just over 2 years ago. That was May 2020. So it was pretty much at the beginning of COVID, was it?
It was, yes. I suppose anyone who's lost someone during COVID will identify just it's that emptiness and that unfilled hope to see them one last time. And, you know, we witnessed the fear and loneliness and the isolation of a death during COVID. And it's just almost a visceral experience, you know, that I'm sure people can relate to. It's just the crudest way. There was no goodbyes for us. I just wanted to do the simplest act for me, was to hold Mem's hand and offer her words of comfort and the woman who gave me life and, you know, like a physical touch to acknowledge that she loved and she was loved and that her life mattered. But COVID robbed so much, you know, people of their parting, and so many said goodbye through smartphones or Perspex. So I think just mentioning Mom brings it to my heart, and the truth is I'm still grieving. It's purpose of this book, we're all suffering, but I think we can help each other.
Yeah, and I think there's so many people who are listening to this who will identify with that, and also the ritual of the funeral, the ritual of how we say goodbye in this country, which was so curtailed over that period of time.
Yeah, that's difficult. You're so isolated, you know, and it makes, you know, the process of grieving and coming to terms, you know, all the more difficult when you can't share. And you know, that what we're all so used to here in Ireland and being able to express ourselves through the process of the funeral. And you know, we didn't have that.
And that's one of the reasons I know why you wrote the book, because you took great comfort and strength from the solidarity shown to you by other people, even people you didn't know who sent you so many messages of comfort and support. And is that what you're trying to do here, to offer solace to people, to show people that there is a path through?
Absolutely. I think with Jason's journey, I found a community of hope and people who were grieving, you know, like me. And they shared so much with me. And I was so lucky, and with people all across the world who supported us and who have lost loved ones in very different ways. And there was a huge amount of solidarity. And I'm really hopeful that, you know, that the book will help people, you know, to find a way to move forward and live an enriching life when, with the memories of our loved ones, and that they become a treasure and not a burden.
Mm-hmm. And there is no magical way through grief and grieving. There is, you don't offer, you know, a one-stop solution here, but can we talk about what did work for you?
Yeah, I definitely, like, for me, I learned that I'm much stronger than I give myself credit for. I definitely found myself appreciating the value in a moment. There were times, and those times I chose family over work, for example, I never regretted them. Those memories keep me connected and grounded. I'm very lucky. And And I would say anyone would identify with me that it's very much like soup for the soul. And on a practical level, there were things like meditation has been a lifesaver for me. I had practiced it, you know, in just a very general way, you know, for many years. And it's, it gave me the space and peace, I suppose, amid the chaos, you know, to take some time out for myself in bite-sized pieces, be it, you know, a minute or 5 minutes of a day when things were going awry all around me.
Mm-hmm. And I know that those positive practices and also looking after your nutrition, that's very important to you too. But you did seek professional help, didn't you? How did that work for you?
Absolutely. Well, it worked out. I would encourage, you know, everyone talk therapy. You know, we're big talkers in our family and have learned the value of it in sharing. But equally being able to talk to somebody outside, you know, your close network that's independent and a professional is hugely helpful and therapeutic, you know. And for me, it was a catalyst to open that door, you know, to be able to understand so much about myself and about my grief. And I think what's important is that it's not always the first time you try, perhaps, that, you know, that it might work. And, you know, I remember I came out one evening and it was very early on, you know, after I had lost someone that I had loved, and my husband was sitting outside in the car, Dave, and he came out and he said, "How did you get on?" And I said, "God, he's very nosy," you know. And I just wasn't ready for it.
Yeah.
And I think that was okay, you know. And, you know, I had, you know, I went back another time and he agreed, and, you know, I took some time out and went back, and then I had some professional help, you know, and it was the right time. And it set me on a course and a path to being able to help myself.
And what you're doing here in the book, Tracy, is showing people that it is possible to find joy and happiness again. Is that what you want people to hold on to after reading this?
I do. Because I know, like, I've walked that path, and I know, like, there could be people out there in bed right now, not, you know, or haven't sent the kids off to school, and, you know, I've got back into bed and under the covers, and you just, you know, every single thing is a huge effort in the day. So I hope, and my hope is that the book, you know, just shares my experience, and that people, you know, perhaps can take something just to push them that little bit from that hopelessness into hope, and see that there is a light there, and, you know, we can live a fulfilled life after losing those that we love.
Well, it's a positive message, Tracy, and thank you very much for telling us about it. Tracy's book is called Loss and What It Taught Me About Living. It's published by Gill Books and it's available now. If you're affected by anything that we have just discussed, you can find further information at rte.ie/helplines. Tracy Corbett-Lynch, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you, Claire.
Today with Claire Byrne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.